Today, climbers on Mount Everest got the go-ahead to resume their trek up the mountain. It's a welcome sign after the earthquake and landslide that killed 19 people at Everest Base Camp. The death toll throughout Nepal has now risen to above 5,000, and it's thought that thousands more bodies will be found in remote areas of the country. Sean Casey is with the International Medical Corps in Kathmandu. It's an aid foundation that's trying to bring help despite great odds. He joins us by Skype. And Sean, tell us what you and your team are doing on the ground now.
So we spent the day today trying to get mobile medical units to a number of different locations around Kathmandu and in other affected districts. Access is a real challenge right now. The earthquake affected a number of districts with very remote villages under good circumstances, some normally a walk from the end of the road. And there's heavy destruction in a lot of these remote areas. So we're doing a lot of logistics work now to access these remote areas and try to get care and water, sanitation, hygiene support to some of these remote, heavily affected areas.
And if some of the streets there, some of the roads, such as there are roads, are blocked or impassable, how do you literally move from one place to another? And how do you carry the aid supplies, the medical equipment with you? Give us an example.
Right. So International Medical Corps is now looking at multiple approaches, including trekking to these villages. We're looking at helicopter access. We're even looking at how we could potentially use drones to assess needs. So we're looking at every option in front of us. There's risks and challenges related to all of them. The choppers are really not available right now. They're being used for medevacs. And there's a lot of demand for them, as one might imagine. Walking in is obviously physically challenging and risky. There's still landslides happening. There's still aftershocks. And the ground is not stable in some areas. And walking in for 2 days doesn't give you much cushion in terms of safety for the team. And they're also not able to carry much. So really complicated response here and a lot of needs. And it's going to be hard to meet those needs in a timely fashion.
And you had mentioned drones as well. I mean, you have the low tech or no tech of walking and then the high tech, very high tech of drones. What would the drones, if you're able to employ them, what would they accomplish? Just surveying the area and the needs, or could they actually transport some of the aid material with them and do a drop?
I mean, at this point, there's many villages where we don't have eyes on the ground. So they've literally not been accessed by anybody since the earthquake on Saturday. So it would be about getting eyes on the level of damage. We can see if people are collected in camps. We're really concerned collectively in the response now about the possibility of disease outbreaks. Because people are living in camps with no sanitation facilities, unprotected water supplies, and there's a real risk in that scenario of disease spreading. It's also raining, and cholera is endemic here. So having a sense of what the needs are in very general terms would allow us to prioritize where to try to go first and what we need to bring, whether it's medical supplies or water sanitation supplies, things like that.
Yeah. Can you give us one example? For instance, I know that you were in the ancient city of Bhaktapur. Perhaps you can give us an example of how you got to Kathmandu, where you are now in the capital, what you saw along the way.
Right. So I was in Bhaktapur when the earthquake struck. I was in the old city doing some sightseeing, and the buildings collapsed around us. And we spent the afternoon trying to get back to Kathmandu. So waiting through some of the aftershocks in squares where buildings wouldn't fall on us in the aftershocks, and then kind of sprinting through the narrow streets of Bhaktapur to get to the edge of town. And then we walked for several hours until we were able to find a car to get us back to Kathmandu to our hotel. And our hotel was damaged, and we ended up sleeping outside for the first couple of nights. There was some damage along the way. Some buildings had fallen. There were some cracks in the road. And everybody was outside. It was just massive numbers of people standing outside, afraid to go into buildings.
When you encounter a situation like that, how do you, as someone providing medical relief, prioritize what to do first?
We know that there are some clear needs in an earthquake scenario, immediate medical care, and then people are generally displaced into camps or forced to sleep outside because it's not safe to go into buildings or people are afraid to go into buildings. So we know that the priorities in an earthquake are generally pretty consistent. Medical needs, water sanitation needs, shelter, and non-food items like blankets and other basic supplies, because they are forced out of their homes. So it's generally pretty simple to know what's needed in general terms. And then we've been working on assessments since the day after the earthquake. The morning after the earthquake, I traveled to the area around the epicenter in Gorkha District and Dadin districts to assess needs, and we immediately deployed mobile medical units and started working on water and sanitation. And we're now working on psychosocial support as well, because there's a lot of trauma, there's a lot of anxiety and emotional distress among the millions of people who have been affected.
All right. Thank you very much for speaking with us from Kathmandu, Nepal. Sean Casey with the International Medical Corps. Nice to speak to you. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Lisa Mullins.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now.